Good evening, Bethlehem and saints of God. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, or maybe even good night, or whatever time you're tuning into our Wednesday Zoom Bible study. It is Wednesday, March the 27th, 2024. And I want to welcome you to today's Bible study. And before we get into the study today, as always, I'd like to extend a personal invitation for those who just moved to Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, those who just given their life to Jesus Christ, whether through television or radio or internet ministry. And they are good ministries. They are encouraging you to find a local church home. And that's where I come in. I want to extend the personal invitation for you to join us here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. It's a great time to come join us because this coming Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. So we would love to see your face in the place for the first time on Resurrection Sunday. And we've been praying for you because we've been praying and asking God to enable us to reach more in 2024. And we're trying to reach 25 new families with 15 new baptisms. And you could be an answer to our prayer. So come on and join us this coming Sunday at 11 a.m. service at Resurrection Sunday, right here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church at 311 North Dunbar, right here in the heart of Falls Valley, Oklahoma. I also want you to visit our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. Again, our website is www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. So we look forward to you getting to know us there. You might as well go ahead and scroll down, click the Facebook tab, the Instagram tab, the Twitter tab, the LinkedIn tab, and follow and friend us in what I call Cyber Church. Now, we'd love for you to be a part of our Cyber Church family, but this is only for you local people to get to know us so that we can see you this coming Sunday at the 11 a.m. service, Resurrection Sunday, in Jesus' name. Well, Bethlehem, as always, we're encouraging you to fast and pray this coming Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. As we fast and pray for that vision we talked about, reach more in 2024. And also, we're fasting and praying for the service in Davis, Oklahoma, at the Guildfield Baptist Church. It's 211 North B Street in Davis, Oklahoma. Pastor Johnson is going to be our host pastor there. And we're looking forward to the seven last words from the cross. In Bethlehem, I would that you would be there as we go into and prepare for Resurrection Sunday. Now, I want you to be detailing your prayers. I want you to pray for Pastor Ricky McNeil, who's going to talk about forgiveness, Pastor Eddie Copeland, who's going to be sharing on salvation, Pastor myself, Etom, I'm going to talk about affliction. Pastor Tony Randall, and he's going to talk about anguish. And Pastor Tommy Brown, he's going to talk about suffering. And Pastor Chopper McCarthy, he's going to talk about it's finished. And then lastly, we're going to look and have and hear from Pastor Bobby Davis. And Pastor Bobby Davis is going to talk about victory. So, Bethlehem and Saints of God, please intercede on behalf of this service and all these men of God who's going to share with us this coming Friday at the 11, this coming Friday at the 7 p.m. service. So, Bethlehem, we want you to continue to fast and pray. Also, fast and pray for our ministry, the Word from the Lord, television and publishing, and First Ladies, part of that. We have three authors that's coming out at the same time. My book is coming out, Black Love Must Matter. Cappuccino Adams' book is coming out in April. He's talking about the missing link, and Charles Lindsay, he's going to be talking about I've learned. What I've learned So these are all Christian books that God, we're praying that God would bless and use in a mighty way. So fast and pray for all of what's on the prayer list and everything that we have talked about at this moment. And now we're going to go ahead and get into the word. We're continuing a series that I've entitled Burly. The Burly series, as we're trying to encourage those who may be a point in their life where they're barely making it. We just came off of a message this Sunday, Barely Making It Might, and it was the word that we're standing on all month long, Zechariah 4 and 6. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I told you on Sunday, it was a word of encouragement, it was a word of endurance, and it was a word of power, because the Zerubbabel had worked the first 3 years there in Jerusalem, and they set the foundation. And Order Xerxes heard from some of the haters there, and he stopped the work, and the work stopped for 17 years. The work stopped for 17 years. Can you imagine how disappointing that must have been? Somebody's been waiting on God for 17 years. Somebody has been experiencing the tarrying of God. Later down, we saw in a video that God says that is but a day unto him, and never to despise the day of small things. And you may be dealing with these small things, trying to make it barely. But this month we are examining the miracles of barely making it. If you didn't get to see or hear the rest of the series, I want you to visit our website at heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And there, go down and click that Facebook tab. And the first link on the Facebook tab is my podcast. You can download these messages for free. All of these messages are free. If you need a word of hope, a word of encouragement, barely making it money, barely making it manna, barely making it mother, barely making it mites, barely making it March, the Sunday before last, barely making it mob, and last Sunday, the barely making it might. And today, we're going to examine barely making it Messiah. And this coming Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we're going to talk about barely making it man. And we're going to, like a movie, we're going to be moving backwards and forwards in time as we examine the Easter story. And tonight we're going to be talking about barely making it Messiah. And we're taking it back to the beginning in Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14, and it reads as following. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Let me read it again. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And we'll call him Emmanuel. I read to you Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. May God only bless the doers of his marvelous and magnificent word in Jesus' name. Tonight we're talking about barely making it Messiah. We're seeing the small things that would lead to the greatest impact on the planet since creation. And we see a barely making it Messiah in a manger. He was born amongst the children. And all of the Easter story begins here. begins with this sign, and it's an emphasis. There was an emphasis of the sign. There was an extraordinary of the sign. There was the eternal of the sign. And tonight we want Christians to know that Christians should believe in the power of God to change their life when they are barely making it. When they are barely making it. You know, Mary and Joseph had to come down from Nazareth. She was 9 months pregnant, had to make that travel. And when they got there, there was no room in the inns. Barely making it. Messiah. But before all that would happen, and before Resurrection Sunday, before the seven last words, before the six trials that we will examine tonight, it all began with God sending a sign. And again, we're going to look at the emphasis of the sign, the extraordinary of the sign, the eternal of the sign, in Jesus' name. Let's look at this brief video. Then we'll get into the word. Amen and praise the Lord. Amen and praise the Lord. Again, we're like a movie. And right now, the camera goes to the six trials of Jesus before he would say his seven last words, which we're going to examine on Friday night. Again, we want to encourage Bethlehem Saints of God to be there at Guildfield Davis. But now we're at the six trials before he would be crucified. And we see over here, Jesus started out in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is where we see a barely making it Messiah. And on Sunday, we'll see a barely making it man, and they both was really present in this garden as he was preparing for the crucifixion, as he was preparing for the death, burial, and resurrection of Easter. We see a barely making it Messiah. We see a barely making it man in prayer, and we see a man who's left by himself, because the disciples could not even pray with them for an hour. And the hour or time would come. And we got to show you these tensions of Christianity, because Jesus is smack dab in the middle of the will of God. He had not done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, he was born to die. Somebody smack dab in the middle of the tension of being a Christian, and it seems like life is out of control, and you're wondering whether or not God cares for you, when you are smack dab in the middle of where God wants you to be, to glorify him. But even Jesus at times barely made it. If our Savior at times barely made it, as he prayed in that garden, he would that this cup would pass him by, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Somebody's listening at the sound of my voice. You're going through, but you've got to have some of that. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when he got prepared in prayer, and you must always pray. That's why we pray here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church Fridays from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., because in this life, you're going to face trials that you need to be prepared for, because at any given moment, your life could turn upside down, but you have to have the faith to stand up when your life is turned upside down. Woo! I said something there. You've got to have the faith to stand up when your life is turned upside down. And Jesus got that kind of faith through prayer. If Jesus Christ had to pray, as we enter into this Holy Week, as Jesus has had to pray as he entered to his time of death, burial, and resurrection, so much should we. let me hurry up on this. This is where the prayer would barely make the Messiah, barely making it. Man, we're going to, as a movie, like a movie, we're going to flash back on Sunday back to this garden and get into the details of the tension. But I just wanted to put you there as we prepare to head towards the seven last words on Friday. He left, but they got him from the Garden of Gethsemane. And this map here leaves Anna's house. Jesus was judged six times, but on this map, there's only five. So I had to put this there from John chapter 18, verses 13, where it says that they took him to Annas first, who was, as a Sunday school teacher shared on Sunday, who was the high priest emeritus. And Caiaphas, Annas was Caiaphas' father-in-law, who was the high priest. So they took him there first, as Sunday school teacher said on Sunday, that shows that his power and his influence that he had. So it's not on the map, but I had to put it there. And so that was trial number one that we count. Trial number two was at Caiaphas' house. And after Caiaphas, he would go over here to the temple, and he was brought before what we call the Sanhedrin. In Luke chapter 22, it calls them the council. And these were the three religious trials that Jesus had to go through. As the Sunday school teacher said on Sunday, the kangaroo courts. And they took him out of the religious arena and they sent him over here to Pilate's. And that was the fourth trial. And Pilate sent him over here to Herod's spot to be tried. And once he was sent from Herod's house, he was sent back from Herod's house back over here to Pilate. And then Pilate initially counted the sixth trial and said basically to crucify him. And they sent him over here to Golgotha's Hill to be crucified, where we're going to be on Friday, where we're going to see the seven last words from the cross on Friday. But again, I said, this is a movie and we're taking him back, taking the story back to the beginnings. And the beginnings was the sign. And the Bible says here that the emphasis of the sign is therefore the Lord himself. We talked about the emphasis on Sunday where it says in Zechariah, the Lord Almighty. I mean, he puts an emphasis on it. And right here, it was the Lord himself. He could have no other power greater than himself. So he had to talk about himself. The Lord himself is working with Jesus from the beginning. As we celebrate, this is usually a Christmas text, but we wouldn't have Easter without this text. And this is the beginning of it all. And we see the Lord himself was at work when he was willing to give a sign. Somebody tonight, God sent me here to let you know, even though you're barely making it, it is the Lord himself who has you at the place that you're in. It is the Lord himself that had you in the incident, in the accident. It is the Lord himself that is at work. Even when your life is turned upside down for the Christian, especially the sincere Christian, it is the Lord himself who is at work. In the same way in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was the Lord himself at work. In the same way, that he was crucified and on the cross, it was the Lord himself at work. When he died and was taken down from the cross, it was the Lord himself at work in the life and death of Jesus. And the Lord himself is at work in the life and death of us all. But he would have to do the impossible. That's why the barely making it Messiah. How in the world can a virgin give birth to a child? And it was because the Lord himself, somebody's facing an impossible situation. And God says today that it is the Lord himself who's at the work in your life. And the only way it's going to work is the Lord himself will have to intercede on behalf of you, your situation, your circumstance, in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 talks about this powerful work of the sign before Easter, the sign before it all. God was at work. Behold, the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. God is with us. They say this is a Christmas text, but I can imagine that if you apply this word, it's an everyday text, because God sent me here today, right before the resurrection, to let you know that God is with you right before the crucifixion, that the Lord is with you right before you struggle in your Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord is with you, and you've got to stand on that word in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulation. The Lord is with you, and he's going to do something impossible to manifest his will in your life. That's the emphasis of the sign, and the emphasis on your life is that the Lord himself, Bethlehem, is at work at Bethlehem Baptist Church at 311 North Dunbar. In Jesus' name, it is the Lord himself who is at work. Keep your eyes off of man. Keep your eyes off of your circumstance. Focus on the God who is with us, because if he is with us, he's more than the world that is against us. We can do what God says to do, because it is the Lord himself. We talked about Zerubbabel and beginning the work after 17 years. Can we begin the work, Bethlehem, after 17 years if we know that the Lord himself is at work in the life of our church? In Jesus' name, he's doing some awesome and mighty and impossible things. And he does this to emphasize that he has the power in Jesus' name. We're talking about barely making it Messiah. It was an emphasis, and it was extraordinary. The extraordinary is that a virgin will conceive. That sounds utterly ridiculous. That sounds utterly impossible. How in the world can a virgin conceive when the virgin has never known a man? A virgin has never known a man. Saw in this show where a young lady was 21, and she shared her body count. She said she had been with 17 men. And undoubtedly she wasn't a virgin. It shouldn't have been impossible for her to have a child. Hello, somebody, to which she did. But here in this text, the virgin will conceive. This is extraordinary. Really, that's not even the word. It is ex nihilo. That's what it is. That God can make something out of nothing. If Christians could really believe this extraordinary point that the virgin will conceive, then nothing would be impossible for them to do. Because they realize that it doesn't take what you have to manifest the will of God in your church, in your life. It doesn't take your education. It doesn't take your experience. And it's good to know, because God is calling you to do something that you're not qualified for in man's eyes. But God is going to do something extra that is in the ordinary to manifest his will for your life. Let me say that again. God is going to do a little extra. hello somebody, to the ordinary, oh, to manifest his will. He's going to do a little something extra at the Bethlehem Baptist Church, which is an ordinary church. It's not a mega church. It's an ordinary church. Hello somebody. But God is going to put a little something extra in it to manifest his will in Jesus' name. He's going to put a little something extra, oh, in your life. Because you've been living an ordinary life, but God, you serve an extraordinary God. An extraordinary God can, oh, he can do it out a little extra because he's extraordinary. Hello, somebody. God says tonight, I'm going to do something impossible. I'm going to do something that you didn't think that could be done. I'm about to do something exceedingly, extraordinarily, abundantly above anything that you ask or can imagine because of the extra in the sign. Hello, somebody. There was an emphasis in the sign, and there was something a little extra. Isaiah 38:7 says, this will be a sign to you from the Lord that he will do what he has promised. It's going to be a sign in this text to you that he will do what he has promised. It has tarried. Oh, you started the business 10 years ago, but you have not made a profit. It has tarried. You believe God and you started the ministry and it's not all doing what you believe it should do. But God says that he's a promise keeper. And the sign that he's about to give you, Bethlehem, the sign that he's about to give you, Christian woman, Christian man of God, is a sign of his promise. He's about to do all what he said he could do. Hello, somebody. I'm about to thinking about doing a series called a cap series. And if I had a hat, I'll put it on my head. I don't have any one of my hats around. I'll put it on my head because that's what young folks say, cap. They'll say cap, which means that you're lying. That you're lying. They see that you are lying. And one little brother will put on a cap to show that you're lying, and they all start putting on caps to show that you're lying. God says that he's not capping. Woo! Let me say that again. God says that he's not capping, that he's going to do what he said he would promise to do in Jesus' name. Let me say that again. He's going to do what he promised to do, oh man of God, oh woman of God, who step out on faith and the fruit of it is not manifest itself right now. God says, I'm a promise keeper and I'm about to show you my power. I'm about to show you that I'm not capping. Hello, somebody. And this will be your sign in Jesus' name. Woo! That's the power of Easter. You see, Jesus wasn't capping when he said, oh, that he would rebuild the temple. Oh, that old temple people go to pray for the last of Herod's temple. They put prayers on the wall that they call the wailing wall. They thought when Jesus said he would rebuild the temple, they thought they were talking, he was talking about the temple. But Jesus said, I wasn't capping what I'm going to do. I was talking about this temple. This temple was about to take the place of that temple. And what I'm going to do is you're going to kill me, but I'm going to rise again on the third day. Jesus was not capping. Oh, and that's the power of Easter. He will do what he said he would do. Man and woman of God, you better stand on his word. And this is going to be a sign. He's going to prove it in Jesus' name. Pray somebody tonight being encouraged who's barely making it. Look at that little baby in the manger, barely making it. The eternal of the sign. And we'll call him Emmanuel. Hello, somebody. The other text said that Red wrote it out in regular English. God is with us. It's eternal. Emmanuel, God is with us. The eternal God is with you. Woo! Do you see the sign? Do you see why it's a sign of Easter? It was the eternal God who started out here. Oh, before he was born, it was the eternal God, God himself, who was at work, and it was the eternal God that would enable Jesus to be born. It was the eternal God that would enable him to live for, we believe, 33 and a half years. It was the eternal God that allowed him to be crucified and die for the sins of the world. It was God himself who was at work. Oh, so that we can say, repeat, all year long, not just Easter, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso, he had to be a begotten son to be eternal, that his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's an eternal sign that we see at Easter in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Isaiah 8 and 10 says, devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not happen. For God is with us, somebody. Oh, it's right smack dab in a plan for demise. Oh, but God says, oh, that I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. God says, I'm going to turn it around. God says, I have the power, oh, to stop the plans that people, oh, have come against you with. In Jesus' name, he has the power to stop the proposal. There's some folk that are proposing some things against you. They have a detailed plan, against you. I know several ministers who had people coming against him, and it was detailed plans that came against him. Oh, but God thwarted it. God, did not allow it to happen because God was with them. And somebody's listening at the sound of my voice. It was the devil's plan to shut the doors of Bethlehem and to allow it not to open again in many churches during COVID. But guess what? That plan, though it was a great plan, the best plan I ever seen that came against the church in our time and probably any other time, where the government would shut us down here in America, it was a great plan. Oh, but we served a God who was with us. Oh, in that year of 2020, a God who was with us and enabled us to fly through 2020 and made it through 21. And guess what? It's 2020. And we still have a vision to build for the kingdom of God, because God is with us. I didn't mean to preach tonight. You know, I just really like to teach. But somebody's listening at the sound of my voice. You are about to give up hope. But God sent this big mouth preacher, to the Bethlehem Baptist Church over 17 years ago, so that we could be at this celestial and eternal point in time, where through in Bethlehem and outside of Bethlehem, this voice could be heard and say to you that the devil is a lie. Put down the gun. Don't take your life. The devil is a lie. Put, flush the medicine that you were about to take your life. The devil is a lie. And his plans tonight have been thwarted. His plans tonight, it won't happen, because God is with you, Bethlehem and saints of God, in Jesus' name. God is with you. And it started before time. It began with a prophecy. And I'm not a prophet, Oh, but I'm here to tell you tonight, for somebody who's been faithful to the Lord, God is saying, be encouraged. Oh, like we said Sunday, a word of encouragement, be encouraged. A word of endurance, be encouraged. A word of power, because God says, oh, that you're going to make it in Jesus' name. Bethlehem and Saints of God, I'm out of time. But I want you to be encouraged this holiday season. Because this encouragement began before time. We're talking about a prophecy of Jesus. And now we've lived out that prophecy and we're celebrating. And we're going to continue that celebration at Gill Field at 7 o'clock. Because we're going to flash or go back forward to him on the cross and what he said. Bethlehem and Saints of God, I want you to be there to hear what he said. I want you to pray for those preachers that I mentioned as we continue to celebrate this holiday season. Before we go tonight, again, we want Christians to believe that in the power of God to change their life when they are barely making it, in Jesus' name. I already shared John 3:16, and I just love it. I just never get tired of it, because somebody's listening tonight. You don't know God. You don't know anything about this barely making it Messiah. All you know is that you're just barely making it. All you know is that you feel hopeless because of what you're going through. And I'm here to tell you, there is a power greater than the trials that you're going through. And perhaps God has allowed the circumstances to prepare you to hear my voice today, this morning, this afternoon, this evening, and whatever form, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever tab you clicked, to come to know a God who loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you. It is the eternal, the extraordinary trying to, the extraordinary trying to give you a little something extra in your ordinary so that you can come to know him. All you've got to do is believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and raised again on the third day. That's Sunday. That's Easter. We can celebrate Easter right now. If you can believe that Jesus Christ was God's only son, that he died for your sins, that he was buried and raised again on the third day, so that today, to tonight, this evening, this afternoon, or whatever time, you can give your life to him. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I was feeling hopeless until I heard your word. Heard this man preach your word. I was feeling helpless and hopeless. I was about to take my life, but instead of taking my life, I want to give my life. I want to give my life to you, because I believe what the word says, that Jesus did die for my sins, was buried and raised again on the third day, so that today I may be saved. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, and you're anywhere near the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, Garvin County, the city, or the county seat, we are telling you to come home. You've been born into the body of Christ right here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. Come home this Resurrection Sunday. Come down after I finish preaching and let me know that you prayed to accept Christ while listening or looking to or looking at the Zoom Bible study. We'll accept you to the body of Christ. We've been praying for you. We'll set up a time for you to be baptized, because we've been praying for you to get saved and baptized and to walk in newness of life. So I want you to accept Christ, want you to be baptized. Somebody's listening and you were in Paul's Valley and don't have a church home. And this coming Sunday, we want you to come down. Say, God sent me to be a member of the body of Christ right here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. If you need any prayer, get in contact with me and I'll put you on our prayer list. If you need to rededicate, you can come down this coming Sunday and say, hey, I rededicated my life. Accept your call to preach, and whatever it is God is working in your life, we're going to stand behind and allow you to grow up in the things of God in Jesus' name. Well, Bethlehem and saints of God, we want to thank you once again for joining us here in our study. And Bethlehem, as always, you know, I challenge you to stay connected. Stay connected to God's person. That's through personal Bible study and prayer, meditation. Stay connected to God's precepts. That's through the Word of God itself. It's very powerful in a Christian's life because it is the ammunition that is needed to live a foundational Christian life. Stay connected to God's people. And that's why you need a church home, because God is calling you to us. Because in order to grow up in the things of God, you have to be connected to God's people in a local church. 311 North Dunbar is where we are. That's for the members, and because some members out there need to be reminded that they do have a church home and they do need to come back to the household of the Lord. And also for our first time visitors, join us at 311 North Dunbar. And remember, we are celebrating this coming Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We want to see you in the place, for he has risen. Bethlehem, invite your family members and friends to come this coming Sunday. I'm so excited about Resurrection Sunday because he has risen. Let me go ahead and give the benediction. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for this time in the Word and the instructions in the Word, the hope in the Word, the exhortation in the Word. Put your hedge of protection around us. Keep us safe from all harm and danger. Until we meet again, Father, prayerfully, at the Guildfield Baptist Church in Davis at 7 p.m. this coming Friday. Prayerfully, right here at Bethlehem Baptist Church, 311 North Dunbar. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again. People of God said, amen. And praise the Lord, Bethlehem. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.